All right, so I want to talk about peace. Yes. The thing about peace is a lot of people look at me for a while. I was actually called The Rock by some people. Don't think about The Rock from the movies, not that. But more in the terms that Simon and there is something about Klippen and I'm a pretty big bald guy. So it was fun. And a lot of people see me and they think of a peaceful guy. And I think there's a lot to that on the outside. But there's always stuff going on the inside, right? And the funny thing was that when I was asked to talk here, I felt like talking about peace. And in the weeks to come from that, I have seldomly been in this little peace. It was down to stuff like almost the inability to open my Bible. It was like, what is this? What's going on here, God? And so when I'm talking about peace, just know that the guy that you may think you know who always seems to be peaceful, he knows what he's talking about. I'm preaching to the choir. This is stuff that I've had to teach myself and had God teach me over my life. Is that all right with you guys? Good. So I'd love to pray quickly and then we'll dig into it. Heavenly Father, thank you for us being here. I pray that whatever you put on my mind, may I be able to present it so that it touches people tonight, so it becomes the message that you want to give. It is all about you. It is all about the love that you have for us. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So let's dig straight into the Bible. I would love to start with John 16, 31 to 33. And if you have the analog versions, you can go and start digging through that. And if you have the digital versions, it's going to go faster, but it's all good. Before we get to it, I'd just like to give you a bit of context. So the context of these verses are actually that it's part of Jesus' farewell message to his disciples. And at this point, he has started actually just getting his disciples to understand who he really is. He's gotten them to finally get why he was here, what his purpose for coming to earth was, namely to restore the picture of God's true nature of love and to become the servant and to eventually die for all of us. And they're about to get it. And then he steps into telling them about the turmoil to come, the storms that are to come as Christians. And that's where we dig into it. He says, now you finally believe in me. And the time has come when you will all be scattered and each of you will go your own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am never alone, for the Father is always with me. And everything I've taught you is so that peace, which is in me, will be in you. And will give you, so many syllables here, how? And will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For the unbelieving world, you experience trouble and sorrow, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. Isn't that just the greatest message in a small package? Before we go any further, you can look to your neighbor and say, peace, because we're going to dig into that. And if you feel fancy, you can say, peace be with you. That's all right. You can do whatever you want. Yeah. The title for the message tonight is Full Portion of Peace. So you can write that down if you are one of those guys who likes to jot down in your notebooks. There are three areas of peace that I would like to dig into before we get into it. I want to talk to us about, are we using the peace we've been given? Why is peace no small thing? And how? See, the reason, or many of the reasons why I'm talking about that is because I experienced this in my own life. And about 6 years ago, on January 1st, we were going to the playground with our, at that point, two-year-old boy, Asher, and some friends of ours. And we were heading back. And at some point, Asher decided he was tired and he didn't want to walk anymore. So out of the blue, he grabs Helene and he literally decides, Helene is my wife, decides not to let his legs carry him anymore. And then he falls over. He somehow pulls Helene down on top of him. And so we have pavement, we have Asher's head, and we have Helene's entire body on Asher. And what happens at this point is actually, as we look at Asher, a tooth is flown straight out of his face. No laughing, that's my kid. Okay. It's all good. But see, the thing is, and this is where I'm weird, because I see blood and I see a tooth. And if you know about fight, flight, fawn, and freeze, all those four Fs, I'm a fight kind of guy. So a tooth is out my kid's mouth and there's blood everywhere. This is actually my A zone. I can act on stuff. So I grab the tooth by some reason. I grab Asher. I say goodbye to our friends. I get Asher back to our apartment and we get him rinsed out. We get ice in his, where the tooth is missing. And Asher stopped crying quite fast. And so I call the dentist and I tell her everything about it. You know, you got to tell where you are. You got to tell all the details so they know what's going on. And I start telling her everything. And now it's where the story is not fun for me anymore. Because she says, good job. We're done. And I'm like, no, you didn't listen. A tooth flew out. No, you don't understand. It was baby teeth. All is good. You can just now leave it at that. It seems like he's not bleeding anymore. He's not in a lot of pain. We'll x-ray him sometimes later. I'm like, no. Tooth out of his face. I need the Coast Guard. I need the police. I need somebody here right now. And she's like, no. And she's very patient with me. It's very nice of her. She's like, no, you've done everything you can. At this point, it is perfect. I'm like, no, nothing is perfect. And if you haven't noticed it, I'm at anything but peace at this moment. And what's really crazy about this story is that in the weeks to come, I'm praying a lot and I'm so devastated for my kid because he's never going to be able to chew again. He's never going to be able to smile again. And I'm praying every day and I'm like, oh, God, what is going to happen to my kid? And then one night, as we're sitting eating, we like to have like carrot sticks or stuff like that. And I give him a carrot stick and it dawns on me, I'm the worst dad in the world. I just gave him carrots. And I look over at him and he's like, mwah, mwah, mwah. He has no care in the world. And it dawns on me that for 2 minutes, Asher had a problem with losing a tooth. But for 2 weeks, I had a problem. And at no point was I tapping in to the peace that God actually had for me. And right then and there, God was saying, yeah, I knew. But you were so busy praying and fixing everything that you didn't have time to listen to the fact that I had this all under control. And today, Ash's teeth are coming out everywhere. He's 8 years old. There's teeth everywhere. And everything is good. But I couldn't see that at all at that point. I was not tapping into peace. It's funny how when we are at unease, we don't act like we think we're supposed to. I even walked out at our back stairway behind our kitchen, being in so much unease. I hit my hand against the wall. I don't do that kind of thing, but I couldn't find peace, so I needed for my hand to touch a wall. How ridiculous is that? But I was not in control, and I was not full with the peace that God actually had for me. And that's why I would love to dig into three areas where we can see God's peace in action. Is that all right? Good. So the first one is, are we actually using the full portion of peace? Are we using the full gift? Over the last 10 years, I've had the opportunity to talk to people in many different areas of life. I've been a youth pastor for years. I have actually had the opportunity to walk on the streets of Copenhagen as a street pastor, working with people in addiction and homeless people for a while. And you get to talk to a lot of people about many, many funny things. And some of them are definitely about God, of course, being a street pastor, walking on the streets of Copenhagen. And it's funny when you talk about it. It seems like a lot of people know what it is to have peace in the hope of eternal life. A lot of people understand the idea that if I give my life to Jesus, there is a hope of an eternal life. But I want to say that it is one thing to make your peace with God, to give your life to Him, to say that I want to be part of that. But it's a completely other thing to have a daily peace with Jesus. It's a completely different thing to make your peace with Jesus on the daily. And that's what I want to tap into right now. Because true peace actually means to work with Jesus every single day. It means that there's more to our lives than just a ticket to heaven. Yeah, there's more to our lives than when we give our lives to Jesus and make our peace with Him. There's more than just waiting for a ticket to heaven. There's actually something that we can do on the daily. I'm just going to get some water. Thank you. All right. My dad, I love him very much, is a technologically challenged man. And I'm saying that with great love, and if you ever watch this, Dad, I'm sorry. But about 15 years ago, I came over and I told him about Skype, because we have an aunt living in US, and they were calling. At this point, I think it cost like 13 kroners per minute to call her. Does anyone remember back in the day when you had to? All right, thank you. Thank you, I like that. So I told him, Dad, there's Skype, and it's free. And he's like, Simon, let me tell you something about life. Nothing is in life is free. I'm like, Dad, Skype is free. No, there's a catch. Well, okay. The thing is, he's gotten an iPhone now. I don't know how many has a phone here. All right. I'm not going to go into what kind of phone you have. I hope no one has a Windows phone. And who would want an Android anyway? So, okay. Sorry, guys. All right. Anyways, my dad has gotten a phone and he's really excited about it. He's like, Simon, do you know that an iPhone SE is like an iPhone 6 inside? Yeah, Dad, I've heard about that. It's good. And you can call and you can text and all these great things. And there's something about Snapchat. All the nephews are on. Yeah, Dad, I've heard about that. And then there's Siri. Oh, wow, Dad. What is that? Check it out, Simon. Siri? Call Simon. And what do you know? It actually calls me. I'm like, oh, wow, Dad, that is fantastic. And every now and again, I see the text message in the bottom. You can actually see that it says, Siri wrote the text. And my dad is grinning on the other side of that text every time he got Siri to text me. But the thing is, when I look into my dad's use of a phone, he text messages and he calls. He knows about Snapchat, and then he knows about Siri. I'm guessing he's up to about 15% of what a phone can do, and that's maybe largely 12. You say 12, thank you, Isabel. He's about up to about 12% of how a phone works. See, the crazy thing is that he has the capacity in his pocket for 100%, but he doesn't know how to use it. There might be good reason for that, but he has the capacity of 100%. And the reason why I'm talking about that is I think sometimes that's what we do with God as well. We have the capacity of 100%. But we're waiting for Selena or Peter Prothero to bring a prophecy that will change our lives, because then it's straight from God. And when Selena prophesies over our lives, then we know what it's all about. When in fact, she got it from this book. And all we had to do was open the book for ourselves. We're waiting for Thomas to bring a message so provocative that I can hardly feel my leg afterwards. How many have tried one of those? Yes. Okay, two people. Okay, it's only me, Thomas. But when in fact, we had the ability to fold our hands and pray to God for him to touch our lives and to tell us in which direction to go. We're waiting for fiery letters on the walls to give us a direction about where we're going, when in fact we could actually sit and talk to our small groups. We could go to our connect groups. We can go and talk to care or one of the pastors. We somehow settle for every now and again on a Sunday when one of the pastors brings a message to us. We settle for the 10% when in fact we have the capacity of 100% right at our fingertips every single day. And I think we're all guilty of that every now and again. The Bible puts it like this, though. In Romans 5, 1 and 2, our faith in Jesus is transferred by God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means that we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and what he's done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into the marvelous kindness that has been given to us, a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. What I love about this is two sentences. It is that we actually have true and lasting peace with God. And then the next sentence says that it is our faith that guarantees us full access to God. So it means that you have full access to a full portion of peace only by the faith, only by the fact that you've raised your hand and said, Jesus, I want you as part of my life. You have, by guarantee, a full portion of peace in your life. Part number two, it says, peace is no small thing. And the reason why I say that, reason why I've written that down, is because I do think that we all know about peace. We especially all know when peace is not there. We sometimes forget when there's peace, but when peace has left us, oh, we know it. We know when the unease is sneaking in. We know when it feels like life doesn't make sense to us. We know when it's like a roar in the belly for me. Sometimes it's like, I can feel it all the way down. It's like, yes, something is off. I think we know it sometimes. We look for it in all the wrong places. We look for it in places like status, money, big house, the newest car, hobbies that are so fantastic that everyone will envy us for them. And I'm not saying that any of these things are wrong, but if they fill in the gap of the peace that God has given us as a right by faith, yeah, then they're wrong. Then that's a pretty poor substitution for the peace that God has given us. And the peace that God has given us is actually a peace where we can be calm in the middle of the storm. It's a peace where God is actually calling us into a relationship with Him, where it goes beyond just a simple smile or a frown. It's actually when life doesn't seem to work out. In those moments, can we still be peaceful in His presence? In Matt 11:28-30, it says like this: Are you tired, worn out, burned out of religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace, and I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. See, the point that I'm focusing on there is actually the three words that are saying, come to me. Most often when we hear Jesus calling anyone in the Bible, He's actually saying, follow me. He's saying He's going in a direction, but at this point He's actually saying, come to me. And the interesting part when we look at the Bible, and maybe the terrible part, depending on how you see it, is at nowhere in the Bible is peace actually described as a feeling. At nowhere is it described as a hammock on a beach with a cocktail and a light breeze and jazz in the background. It's not what the Bible describes. See, the Bible actually points to peace as a person. It points to the Prince of Peace. It is saying that Jesus says, come to me, and He will show you how to find real rest. We often mistake peaceful, which is nice, with peace. And all the parents know that peaceful is when all the kids have gone to bed and there's finally no one screaming. But that's not peace. It is just peaceful. Now, true peace is to function in a world that seems dysfunctional. True peace is to be able to dance in the rain if you're one of those goofballs. It is to be able to worship even when you're losing. It's to be able to stand at your work and look at someone who looks like they might even hate you and still smile. That is peace in the middle of the storm. And that's the kind of peace that God actually wants us to dig into. And that's the kind of peace that comes from God. It's the kind of peace where we can actually say, we do believe it when God says, take heart, I have conquered the world. Take heart, for I have conquered the world. It is knowing that God is the same globally, nationally, and right here in my heart. Yeah. Peace is not a feeling. Peace is a person. Right. The final part, and I hope that it's okay with you that I get really practical as we go into step three.
Yeah.
Great. How do I get a full portion of peace? As people, we can often access peace in three different areas. We can access it. Can someone say that for me three times fast? Access. That helps. Thank you. We can access it through our feelings, through our mindsets, and through our actions. We often, though, somehow tend to stop in the feeling part, because that's where it starts to hurt. The thing is, when we access it in our feelings only, and if you then do like me, I see a problem and I have the whole fight, fright, fear, fawn thing going on, and I like to fight because that's a good, it's a good fit for me. I can fix something, I can get some action on it. I bypass the mindset of how we actually think, how we actually get the right idea. And I think most of us actually can get to that. Whether you're a fight or you're flight or you're freeze or a fawn, if we just go from the feeling of the unease, of the lack of peace in our life, and we go directly to the action, we miss the mindset that Jesus wants to tell us about. In the Bible, in the Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says like this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything you can understand. His peace will guard your heart, hearts and minds, and you will, as you live in Christ Jesus. See, the thing is, God is not afraid of our worries. God is not afraid of anything that we need. He's not afraid of anything that goes on inside of us. He's telling us, though, that there is an order to things and there is a process of going about it. And He's saying right here, instead of worry, He's saying, pray. He's saying, talk about it, and then He will help you with your mindset. But the thing is, often we stick to the feeling part and we forget the mindset part because we don't have words for it, or we like to numb it. And I don't know if I'm the only one in the world, but sometimes when things feel bad, there's a nice button, it's a remote. And as soon as something feels bad, we all know that Netflix will fix anything like that because the feeling goes away. I found out in Corona season that someone has started doing plants like crazy. And I think those are actually some of those as well, that can someone sometimes take us away from what's going, what's hurting in our lives. An emotion is coming in, and I don't know how to handle it, I'll go to a hobby, or I'll start eating, or I'll turn on any kind of TV, any kind of situation where we can actually run away from the feeling that we have in it. But actually God is saying, don't run away from it. Talk about it. Talk to me about it and give it to me. But the thing is, you cannot give your worries to God unless you know what they are. And that means we actually have to dig into it. That means we cannot just numb the feeling, but we need to start figuring out what it is. My wife is a coach, and she's taught me a lot over the years. She's a process facilitator. That's a big word as well. So she's taught me all these kind of things. And one of the tools that I've learned over the years is the one called the 5 times why. It is not very, very advanced. It is literally saying why 5 times. So it's in the word right there, so it's good. But it actually helps us out if you want to dig into what a feeling is all about. And the thing is, it's quite useful. So you feel unease, and you can ask yourself, so why am I at unease? That's one. I might feel overwhelmed in my life right now. There's something going on at work, but it's like, I don't really know what it is. I just feel like Netflixing it away. Okay, but why are you overwhelmed? Well, there's changes going on at work. There's new structures. There might be a new boss. I'm not really sure, but I just want to Netflix it away. Well, why are the changes bothering you? Well, it's like there's so many unknown factors. I just want to eat it away. Well, that may just be me. Well, why is that a problem? Well, yeah, yes, again, I said there's all these unknowns, and that means that I'm not in control anymore. And all of a sudden, you go to all of these whys, and you go from I'm at unease, and all of a sudden you start putting into words, and just within minutes, it actually is something you can now start to give to God. Because the thing is, if you're not in control, who should be in control? Well, we know. We should actually start giving that to God, and He could then start to work it out with us. And that's how we get our mindset right with God and put it into practice, which is the third one. How do we actually act it out? The Philippians 4:9 says like this: keep putting into practice what you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and you saw me doing. then God's peace will be with you. On a daily, I do think that we will multiple times have to decide between fear and peace. It's a mind game where we daily actually have to tell ourselves, do I want to act like God actually means what he's saying when he says he conquered the world? Or will I act on my natural instincts and just start fighting instead of actually giving it to God and figuring out who or how he wants to do it? On a daily, we can work our own way, fight, flight. I like the fight part. I'm pretty sure you've noticed that by now. Or do I actually work on going to God and saying, how are you actually going about this? Do I actually open my Bible? Do I actually dig into it and believe that there might be a solution for the problem that I have in work through my Bible? Do I actually believe that when I fold my hands, there might come something to me that can help me in this situation? And I don't know how you are with your Bible or praying. And I actually would like to become so practical that I put up two QR codes, or Matthias did. Thank you, Matthias. And behind both of these, there are actually two Bible reading plans, one about receiving peace and one about how I pray, because I do believe that it's so practical a tool to dig into. And I do believe that we sometimes miss out on the simple truth that are hidden in the Bible, that we can actually find the gold, but it actually means that we have to read the manual. It actually means that we might have to go online to find out how we use more than 12% of what God has given us. And that's why I have put this down. And if you don't know how to read your Bible, if you don't know how to pray, that's a complete different preaching series. But I would love for you to start digging into that and go out to our next lounge afterwards and start talking to someone. Grab a hold of your Connect group leader, one of the pastors on the front row, and there's so much gold to find in that. Thank you. The team can start to come up now. That's perfect. But to act peaceful is a choice. And it's something that I find myself working with, as I say, on a daily. There are situations where I could act out of fear or I could act out of peace. And it's a simple question like that on a daily that actually helps me to determine whether this is a good situation for me or it's a bad situation. Whether I'm actually battling this out of my own will or on my own automatic behavior, or I'm actually giving it to God. I often ask myself, what would calm Simon do? As we talked about in the beginning, sometimes we don't even act like ourselves when we feel unease. We don't even act like ourselves when we feel stress coming in. In the 90s, some of us had these amazing bracelets that said WWJD. How many have had one of those? All right, I like that. Hey. And the reason why we did that is just that same. What would Jesus do in this situation? And it may have sounded like one of those phrases that's been overused, but the wisdom in it is actually to step back and say, oh man, if I don't have to think about this like I would do it, what would you do, Jesus? How would you actually approach this situation? What is the rational way? What would calm Simon do? How would the guy that actually sometimes know how to act properly, how would he act? And that will often help us. It definitely helps me, even to the extent that I sometimes don't like calm Simon, because he always knows what's right afterwards. But to wrap this whole thing up, I don't know every situation that's going on today. Of course I don't. I don't know what season you're in. I don't know what struggles you are going through, whether it's dealing with pressure at work, anxiety, depression. I don't know all of it. And of course I don't. But can I just ask you, and this is my prayer for all of us, that bring it to God. Pray. Please, please bring the whole thing to God, and please take some time to actually talk about it. We are a church where we absolutely believe that we can pray, but it does not believe that we don't believe in just praying and then stopping. We actually believe that we can talk to professionals. We can talk to our amazing care team. We can talk to our pastors. Pray and then talk about it. Put it into the light. Don't believe the lie that your situation is somehow so unique that you're the only one who's ever faced this situation. It's just not possible. There are so many things going on. Don't believe the lie that it is too shameful to talk about. So please bring it into the open. Please take the time to pray and talk. Bring it into your community. The right place and the right time that will change everything. I believe that we all experience unease. And I believe it's a thing we have to work with somehow. And I think my challenge, my ball up in the air, whatever you want to call it to you right now, is how are you going to practice peace in your life in this coming week? Is there some area where you feel like God is saying, we could go further here? Is there some area where you could dig into the peace that God actually has for you? And I do believe that just as I need it in my life on a daily, I do believe so many of us here do need that too. And before I come to a close, I just love to pray. Love to pray that if anyone here feel like they need a hand from God, need some help, some guidance in how to take the next step of finding this full portion of peace, I would love for a while to just pray for you. So if everyone could just close your eyes. And the reason why I do this is just to make it private. It's not about the person next to you. It is about you. It's about God. And if you would love for me to just pray for you briefly, please raise your hand, and then I'd love to pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are the Prince of Peace. Thank you that your response to our unease and our needs is love. It is you saying, come to me because I know what you're going through. It is come to me and I will show you the rhythms of life and I will show you how to find real rest. It is come to me and you are filling us with love. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us a full manual. You've given us the Bible to dig into. You've given us the power of prayer to come with. And you've given us a church full of community where we can come together and we can carry each other whatever the season is. Thank you, God, that you will fill us up with your peace today. A full portion of peace, the kind of peace that we have by right of faith. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you're sitting here today and you're saying, well, that's all good and well, Simon, but I don't know Jesus. I have no idea what that eternal peace thing is. I don't know if I'm right with him, or maybe it feels like I have been once, but it's far away at this point. I would love to take a moment and address that as well, because we always believe in giving people a chance to go back to Jesus, to make a decision for Jesus. So please keep your eyes closed and your head bowed. So if this is you and you're feeling like, okay, I'd like to make a decision for Jesus tonight, I'd love for you to be part of this moment. And you may not know who Jesus is in your life. You may not know how this works. And I just want to tell you right now that he loves you unconditionally. There's no thing where you have to become good enough for him to love you. There's no thing you can do for him to want you to be part of this decision any more or any less. If this is you right now and you want to be part of this, as I count to three, please raise your hand. It is not that the hand in the air matters. It's just so I know who I am praying for once we get to that. If this is you and you want to decide to give your life to Jesus today, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. All right. I would love for us to pray together right now. And the whole congregation, please pray with me. And especially if you raised your hand, I'd love to pray this prayer with you. Dear Jesus, I'm so sorry for everything. For my mistakes and my sins. But Jesus, today, I choose you. I choose to follow you. I choose to give my life to you. Today I believe that I am forgiven. I believe that I am free. In the name of Jesus, amen.